Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you as we gather here on this 25th Sunday in the season of Pentecost to worship and praise the name of our Lord. Just to share a few announcements with you, announcements that are in the bulletin, but important, save the date for our annual congregational meeting, which is going to be on December 10th. That will be immediately following the worship service. So please make sure that you are available for that very important meeting. Again, that is going to be on December 10th after worship. Our fiscal year have closed on October the 31st, and that means that the reports of the various committees of the session are due. So please make sure that you get those reports in. For those of you who have responsibilities, it's not too early to begin compiling your reports now and sending them to the church office so Donna can begin to compile them and put them together. But please be mindful that the committee reports are due. We are, this is the one of the last Sundays of the Christian year. The Christian year will actually begin with the first Sunday in Advent. That Sunday is coming rapidly approaching. It will be December the 3rd. So just know that we will be beginning the season of Advent with all that that means. We will also be going into the Christmas worship season, and so we'll have a date about our activities for the Christmas Eve and Christmas worship. So please be on the lookout for that. We'll have a joint meeting of the boards of deacon in the session on November the 26th. That will be after church as well. So both the members of the session as well as the deacon board, please take note of that. November the 26th will be the day that we have our joint meeting. There are many other things that will be going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time not only to read your bulletin, but also go to our webpage and our Facebook page to stay abreast of all that is happening at Olney Presbyterian Church. Friends, I just have one more announcement to make. I know you're smelling all the goodness wafting through the sanctuary. And just to remind you that we will be having our Thanksgiving dinner immediately after worship service. So everyone is invited. So please stay and avail yourself of that wonderful time of fellowship immediately after worship this morning.
And the children will be able to get one step closer to that Thanksgiving dinner just after this morning's scripture readings. Our Old Testament reading this morning is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 7 through 18, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 159. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take heed lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good, to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as at this day. Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 910. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the word of the Lord. And as promised, the children are now dismissed.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Amen. Friends, today is a Sunday where we are reminded of our wonderful national holiday of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a time when our nation gathers to do just that, to count our many blessings. And all of us have a great deal to be thankful for, I'm sure. I know it's become commonplace, of course, for many of us Americans to look for problems and to constantly complain about what's not going right. Every time I turn on the social media or turn on TV, I always hear somebody talking about what's not right, what's going wrong. But Thanksgiving is a time when we are called to count the blessings, especially the blessings that we often take for granted. It was the British writer G.K. Chesterton who once said that we need to get in the habit of taking things with gratitude and not taking things for granted. Gratitude, he said, allows us to see the blessings all around us. And that's what Thanksgiving is about. It's taking time to see and be mindful of the blessings that are all around us. It's easy, of course, to take things for granted. It's easy to take things for granted until we don't have them anymore. I remember during the pandemic, I was thinking of all the things that I just kind of took for granted until I was no longer able to avail myself of them. Maybe you had your own list of things that you kind of took for granted until you weren't able to do them again. Simple things like going to the market, like seeing shelves that were stocked with the items that you needed and wanted. Seeing store personnel or personnel in many areas of life who were not able to be available during the pandemic. Simple things like gathering together with family and friends. Simple things like coming to church and being able to be here in God's house, worshiping and praising God. Simple things like being able to sing. I can't sing, as you've just discovered, but just the simple act of being able to sing was something I've always taken for granted until we couldn't do it because of the pandemic. So Thanksgiving is always a wonderful time just to give thanks for all the things that we often take for granted. By the way, I'm not sure how long we will have Thanksgiving with us, so this is a special time. Thanksgiving is a special time, but I'm not sure how long we'll have Thanksgiving with us. I've noticed that Thanksgiving has become more and more overshadowed by Black Friday, the day after. Have you noticed that? I've kind of received more literature and ads about Black Friday than I have about Thanksgiving. So you would think that the holiday, the main holiday, was something called Black Friday. Indeed, I've noticed that Black Friday is beginning earlier and earlier every year. Some stores are even opening up on Thanksgiving evening, so I'm not sure how long Thanksgiving is going to be with us. So this year, when you are giving thanks, remember to give thanks for Thanksgiving while we still have it. But this morning, we want to talk a little bit about thankfulness. We want to talk a little bit about gratitude. You know, I suspect that gratitude and thanksgiving is not something that comes natural for any of us. Like every virtue, it's something that needs to be cultivated and practiced. And that's what I want to do a little bit this morning, just to take a little bit of time to talk about how we might cultivate a life of thanksgiving, how we might cultivate a life of gratitude. First of all, I think that cultivating a life of gratitude and thanksgiving is about remembering. It's about remembering all of the times in the past that our lives were sustained and blessed by those who were gracious towards us in big ways and small. I'm sure you can look in your own past and remember the ways that you've been blessed by the self-giving of others. I was reading one time in Reader's Digest the story of a teacher who told her first grade class, gave them an assignment to draw something that they would be thankful for as Thanksgiving was approaching, and first graders being who they are, they earnestly began to draw. And many of them had some interesting things that they were thankful for. Some children drew a turkey, giving thanks for the meal that they would share with family and friends on Thanksgiving. One child drew a picture of a house, giving thanks for the fact that they would be celebrating in a home. But one little boy named Douglas drew something else. Douglas was a special kind of kid. He was a kid who was always in the shadow of his teacher, kind of a clingy kid. He was a kid that didn't move too far, even during recess. He always stuck close to the teacher, kind of a shy, unassuming kid. But Douglas drew an interesting picture. He drew a picture of a hand. And it invited some speculation on the part of his classmates, what the hand stood for, or whose hand it might be. Some of the kids thought that maybe the hand was the hand of a policeman at the police station that the class had visited not too many days before. Policemen are good people by and large. They are people who help. And so some of the kids thought maybe the hand belonged to a policeman. Some of the kids thought that maybe the hand was the hand of Douglas's parents, or, as one kid said, maybe even the hand of God. Maybe Douglas was drawing the hand of God. It's always a good guess. But the teacher herself asked Douglas whose hand it was, and Douglas, in his shy way, replied that it's your hand. He had drawn the hand of his teacher. And the teacher remembered all the ways that she had helped to guide him and to handle him, all the ways that she had took his hand and led him and guided him during recess, and all the ways that she had taken his hand to help him to learn how to write. And I'm sure we have all had people like that in our lives, people who have handled us with graciousness, with care, and with love. Sunday school teachers, our own parents, people who have been gracious to us in the past. And so remembering those people is one of the ways that we cultivate a life of gratitude. That's why one of the constant refrains in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, is God enjoining God's people to remember, constantly remember. Remember the things that I have done for you. Remember how I liberated you, how I led you out of Egypt. Remember how I took you through the desert. Remember how I gave you the things that you needed. Remember how your clothes never wore out, how your shoes never wore out. Remember how I gave you food and manna in the wilderness. Remember how all the ways that I provided for you. Remember. Remembering is a precondition for gratitude. Part of the problem is that when we don't remember, when we forget how we have been graciously treated in the past, is that we start to believe that we obtain the things that we have through our own superiority, through our own strength, through our own excellency, through our own hard work. We forget that life is a gift. It is not something that we earn, but life is a wonderful gift given to each and every one of us. And if we don't remember that, one of the things that happens is that we become more and more parsimonious, more and more hunkered down, more and more greedy and mean. We stop being gracious people ourselves. And so we are called to remember. Remember all the acts of kindness and all the blessings that we've been graced with in the past. Secondly, not only are we to be mindful of the ways that we have been blessed in the past, but we are called to be mindful of all the manifold blessings that we experience currently. I know that's sometimes hard because we get stuck in the routine. We get stuck in the rat race. Sometimes we don't feel like being thankful because we don't think that we have anything to be grateful for. I was reading an interesting little book, started reading an interesting little book last week called A Simple Act of Gratitude. It's not a religious book by any means, but it's a book about being thankful. The author of the book is John Kralik, and he talks about how learning to say thank you changed his life. Kralik was a middle-aged lawyer in the Los Angeles area who had been practicing law for 30 years. He became a lawyer because of his idealism. He truly wanted to help people. And he saw the law as one way of being able to do just that, to help people. But at the age of 53, he found that his life was totally in shambles. It seemed like everything that could go wrong had gone wrong or was going wrong. He was living in a rundown apartment with poor ventilation, couldn't even afford air conditioning in the summer. His law practice was in deep dive. He was evicted. His law office was evicted from the office complex and where it was housed because the rent became too high. He was barely able to pay his employees, and he was fretting over the fact that he wasn't going to be able to give them a bonus for Christmas. He was owed over $170,000 by clients who refused to pay him, and he really, really needed the money. Didn't know how long he was going to be able to hold out. Personal life wasn't any better. He was 40 pounds overweight. He was on his second divorce. And his relationship with his children was distant and rocky at best. Didn't feel he had anything to be thankful for. And then one day while taking a hike, he heard a voice in his head that told him that he won't have what he wants until he learns to say thank you. Thank you. And so he began to consider what possibly he might have to say thank you for. And the more he examined his life, the more he discovered that he did have things that he could be thankful for. He did recognize the many manifold blessings in his life. He may be living in a crummy apartment, but at least he had a roof over his head. He may be struggling to pay his bills, but at least he had a job. He may have a rocky relationship with his children, but at least he had children that he could go and repair the relationship with. He still had friends and people he could call on. He began to take stock of the many blessings that he had often taken for granted. And then he resolved to do something. He resolved to write thank you notes to people. He resolved to write a thank you note each day, for every day in the year. He would find something to write a thank you note about. And so that's what he began to do each day, carefully writing a thank you note. He'd write a thank you note to his son for getting him a coffee maker for his birthday. He wrote a thank you note to a friend who brought him a bottle of cologne. He would write thank you notes to other friends who took him out for coffee and listened to what was on his heart. Any little thing at all, he took the opportunity to write a thank you note saying, thank you. Thank you for taking time to grace me with these blessings. And he discovered that the more he said thank you, the more he was able to see the manifold blessings in his life, and the more he was able to see, the more grateful he became, the more his life was filled with the posture of gratitude. I wonder if that's not what the one leper in our passage from Luke this morning conveyed. Many of us know the story. Jesus encounters 10 lepers and sends them on their way to the priest, and as they go on their way, they are all healed from the leprosy. But 9 of them go their way, and 1 of them comes back. 1 of them comes back to say thank you. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you. And Jesus says, well, I thought I healed 10. Where are the other 9? Where'd they go? Why aren't they here? But only the one came back to say thank you. And I've often wondered about the other 9, why they didn't come back. Maybe they were filled with a sense of entitlement. You know, we're like that sometimes. If we feel entitled to something, then we are less likely to appreciate it if we suddenly get what we think we're entitled to. We Americans are people who sometimes feel entitled to a certain way of life. We feel entitled sometimes for life to go a certain way. We often feel entitled to healing, and when things don't go the way we want them to go, then we can easily become embittered, and maybe the other 9 just felt entitled to their healing. And so they didn't come back to say thank you. But I suspect that they were probably like all of us. I suspect that they were probably thankful. I suspect that they were probably filled with gratitude. Had we caught up with them after they were healed, I think they would have told all of us how thankful they were, how grateful they were to be healed. But we're reminded this morning that gratitude is not just about what we feel. Gratitude is not just an emotion. I know today we make everything about feelings and what we feel, but gratitude and thankfulness is more than that. Gratitude and thankfulness is about how we respond. It's about how we respond to acts of grace, both past and present. It's about how we live our lives, and that's what the one leper, the Samaritan, does. He comes back and he offers his life to the Lord and he says, thank you. Thank you for what you have done. This week we will all do what we will do this morning. We will share a meal with family and friends. And hopefully we'll remember. We'll remember the past, all the ways that we've been blessed in the past. And we'll take stock of all the ways that we are blessed currently. But as God's people, we're reminded that Thanksgiving is not just something that comes once a year, but Thanksgiving is a way of life. It's a way that we are called to live. Every first Sunday, we too have a supper. Every first Sunday, we gather around the table to remember. Indeed, that's what the Lord says, remember. Do this in remembrance of me. Every time you partake of this bread and you take this cup, remember me. Remember what I have done for you. Remember how I have graced you. Remember how I have blessed you. Remember how I have liberated you from the forces and powers of sin and death. Remember how I have died for you. Remember. Until we come around the table to remember not only what the Lord has done for us in the past, but to remember the Lord's manifold blessings in our lives currently. But then we do something more in a spirit of joy and thanksgiving. We are called to respond. We don't just feel grateful in our hearts. We don't just experience an emotion of gratitude for what God has done, but we are called to respond by going out into the world in a spirit of joy and thanksgiving and becoming the gracious people that God has called us to be. We respond in joy and thanksgiving in our own acts of graciousness, in our own acts of love, in our own acts of blessing others as we have been blessed. And that's what this season of Thanksgiving is about. It's about cultivating a way of life that is reflective of God's own life. It is not about not only receiving, but it's also about giving. Freely, freely you have received, so freely, freely give. So as we gather together today, and as we gather together later this week, let us as God's people remember who we are. We are a new creation people. We are people whose very life reflects the life of gratitude and thanksgiving for what God in God's graciousness and mercy has done for all of us. Gracious God, we thank you this morning for the ways that you have blessed all of us. We thank you for the ways that we have been a blessing to each other. And we ask that you will send us out into the world to continue the life of blessing and graciousness that you have already initiated in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this day that you have gathered us as your people to worship and to praise you. We thank you for this day in which we will do what the early church did. We will share an actual meal together. And we thank you for entrusting us to be your people who give and who bless in the same way that you have given and blessed all of us. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.